Blog Talk Radio.
Into Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing raw food with our resident raw food chef, India, But before we get into all of that, I would like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss a show, you can always check us out here on the archives at blogtalkradio.com/poeticenergynetworkstation. Also, don't forget to like our fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. You can always keep up with us on Twitter at TAEQUEEN at TayQueen. For all my queens out there while you're on the net, be sure to check out our latest blog, thequeensandpost.blogspot.com. And the Queensland is a movement dedicated to uplifting the first teachers in the first classroom, which is the women. So it's time to support sisters who support the community. And again, that's thequeensandpost.blogspot.com. And for everyone out there, we are having a 21-day fitness challenge here on Conversations with the Queen. And the mission of this challenge is to provide an opportunity and platform to create wellness by leading an active and healthy lifestyle. Pretty much all we're doing is just for at least 20 minutes every day, for 21 days, we are trying to reprogram our mind to be more active and healthy. I've been following it for a week now. If you are subscribed to youtube.com/CWTQ update, you can find my vlog experience on there, or you can go over to conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com and get more information on the challenge and how you can join. So do that, and let's get active and let's get fit. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring on tonight's guest, India. Are you on the line?
Here, blessed love, blessed love, blessed love. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Everything is blessed this side of town. California is sunny. It's a little cool, but, you know, everything is good. I'm just getting over a little bit of a bug that tried to enter my body, and we flushed it out in the day, and today I was back on that hill running and feeling good. So, yeah.
That's up. I was feeling a little down today, too, myself, so it must be something, you know, in the air. But I'm still here, you know, we're still doing it, and we're definitely going to bring this powerful information to the people. So for many people who might not know, can you give us a little bit of information on what a raw vegan is?
Raw vegan, you know, I prefer to use live vegan,
mm-hmm.
live food.
Okay,
in.
Live.
You know, raw, because nobody likes raw. Like everybody, if you ask
exactly.
anybody in any of the neighborhoods, any of our communities, they go, man, I don't like raw food. What kind of thing is that, raw food? So, you know, I do use raw interchangeably so people can understand what it is and people can understand and kind of relate, because the raw movement is exploding everywhere, you know. But I would just say a person who consumes life, you know, and what that means, vegan, of course, means you do not consume any animal products. So, you know, a raw vegan or a live vegan doesn't consume any raw or live milk or dairy products or any animal products, and we do not heat our food over 105 to 117 degrees depending on the water content of the food. So that is the definition. That is like the basic definition. So we consume a lot of seeds, nuts, vegetables, and fruits. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do have some raw foodists who do, our live foodists who do consume grains as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So tell us a little bit about why you became a live food chef.
It's very interesting. You know, first I'd like to say that, you know, give a little bit of background. Like most people,
mm-hmm.
I didn't grow up eating healthy foods. I didn't know what healthy
mm-hmm.
foods were. In my household, we ate meat. We ate all kind of different meats, and we ate all kind of different baked goods, and no one ever questioned what that was about or where those customs came from. I actually
mm-hmm.
grew up in foster care. So my consumption consisted of a lot of boxed foods. I lived in many different group homes, so you know, we had a lot of staff come in and change over and all of those things. So, you know, I got into college, and I didn't know how to cook anything. You know, I had a roommate, one of my really good friends to this day. She actually taught me how to cook rice, how to cook squash, you know, how to cook these things. And I, like most people, you know, I did a lot of reading in Shape Magazine and Runner's Magazine. I was always active, and I thought, you know, I would go ahead and apply some of those ways of eating, you know, but they still, my consumption still consisted of a lot of bread, a lot of a lot of different meats. I was never able to really break down the meat, you know. We'll kind of get to that a little later, but in my 20s, I developed a cyst on my left ovary, and it was just all of a sudden. I was actually training for a half marathon, and I was running about, I was up to about 9.5 miles, and I came home from a run one a.m., and I was just throwing up, and I went to the hospital, and after 7 hours, they found a cyst on my left ovary the size of a grapefruit, and I was about 23. I had just finished college, and I was surprised because I thought I was healthy. You know, I followed all of the guidelines that these magazines said, you know, have oatmeal for breakfast, have apple, have peanut butter, you know, have whole wheat toast, don't eat white toast. You know, these are things that I applied, have organic meat, you know. So after I developed this cyst, I had to have it surgically removed because it was just very, very painful. I didn't know any better either. And I went through all of that, and then the doctor put me on birth control. And a year after being on birth control and being depressed and gaining weight and just not feeling like myself, I sought the help of a holistic doctor in L.A. And she straight up just told me, you need to give up all animal products, and I'm going to put you on this olive oil cleanse where you have to eat raw food for about anywhere between 7 to 14 days. And I was like, oh, cool, I could do that. You know, I could make some salads, you know. But I would say 5 days into it, I just said, I can't believe anybody eats like this. I cannot eat any more raw cabbage. You know what I mean? I just can't do it. I can't make any more soups in the blender. I'm not really feeling this whole thing, you know. So it was a real shock to my system. But that was the beginning, believe it or not, you know. That was the beginning. And I actually knew, what I knew about raw foods is that weird people ate raw foods. That's what I knew about it, you know, because there was a guy I worked with who made raw chocolate, but he was really spacey, you know, and he was a cool guy.
Yeah,
but I was
kind of like the whole hippie type of, stereotype.
Exactly. Before it exploded on the scene where everybody is, you know, like wanting to turn to raw, give thanks, you know. So so that was my start. That was my start. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a chef. I've always loved making food, and in college I would make big pots of chicken and cornbread and greens, and people, and we would be sold out every time, you know. So I've always loved to cook, but as I started to be on a vegan journey, just turn to a vegan diet, you know, our consumption, excuse me, I started to realize, like, wow, like I don't know anything about nutrition. I don't know anything about these things, and you know, raw was kind of coming into the scene, and I just started experimenting. I had a couple friends who were, you know, you could consider them a little hippie-ish, you know, but they turned me on to making cashew cheese or making, you know, other things, or even superfoods. They turned me on to superfoods. One of my girls sold superfoods online, and she would let me try them out, and I was like, oh, wow, okay, I can do this. So I started experimenting. And believe it or not, that was where my base was really because I was sick. I hope that answered the question.
Definitely did. So we talked a little bit about this in your intro, and you giving a little bit of background as to why you became a live food chef. But how do you feel that raw food or live food, what kind of role can it play in the African-American or Black community?
Well, that's a very, very, very good question. Because the thing is that we as Black people, we must remember this is our original way of consuming. you know, especially when we apply the original way of eating to we compare. How about that? We compare the original way of eating to what we've been trained to eat, which stems a lot in this country, stems from slavery, stems from colonialism, stems from a way of consumption that our bodies, genetically speaking, cannot adapt to, you know. And, you know, even if we, the thing is that like most things, and some people may not want to hear it, but like most things, you know, the whole African concept of eating, you know, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. Unbeknownst to a lot of people, it wasn't Hippocrates who said that. It was Imhotep who said that first. And this means that this our food has always been our medicine. We come from a tropical environment. You know, all human beings come from Africa. Africans, that as we call ourselves today, come from a tropical setting in which we have, you know, our environment in which we have, you know, fruits, we have greens, we have water, we have coconuts, we have all of these things that we don't even necessarily need to cook because the sun cooks these things. So when applying these things, it's very interesting because one of the reasons, and it kind of ties into the question you asked before, but one of the reasons why I love to prepare live foods is not necessarily because I'm like, oh, okay, you know, I healed myself and now, you know, I have something to share. That's a part of it. But the big part of it, the big part of it is that we have to start making foods that we can consume. A lot of the raw restaurants, a lot of the raw food, a lot of black people just don't find it tasty. They just are like, nah, this is disgusting, it looks disgusting, it tastes disgusting, and they have one experience with it because, one, the whole ideal of raw and the raw movement, it has become, you know, like it's brand new on the scene, but it's been around for since the beginning of time. It's been around since the beginning of time. So the first thing that us Africans must do is we must adopt this, again, reinstitute this as our way of eating. And then when we do that, then we can apply what kind of flavors and textures and colors that we like to include in some of the foods that we've been taught to cook, like, you know, enchiladas. You know, right now I have a raw enchilada pie going on right now. This is the second attempt. But the key is to bring in all of the flavors that we're used to. So, you know, all of the spices to make it a custom. So it is important for African people in their healing because right now at decimated rates we are dying out. People are dropping dead at 30. People are dropping dead at 25. Children can't walk up the street. You know, on Crenshaw alone, I don't know if you've ever been to L.A., but just in about 3 miles of Crenshaw on one boulevard in 3 miles there's about 55 fast food restaurants. 55.
Well, that sounds like any hood. That's about
any,
it.
Any economically, you know, any low economic area that is filled with people of color. You know, and this is something that I think it's great that everybody in the world is healing themselves because what I'm also finding is it's not just an African thing. It is a whole world thing. These people have come in. These gangsters have come in. It's just that one African people have to remember that their melanin in their skin binds to these chemicals, and they become more addicted than maybe a person with less melanation or no melanation, you know, or less melanation, and anything living has melanation. But it's just to say that we must remember these things. That's why it's hard for people to give up these things. That's why people say, but I love my. So it comes, it's a whole transformation. But people who do have the knowledge have to be willing to give back as well. You know, that's very, very important because people need our people need community to come to and say, well, how do I do this? Well, how do I do this? Well, how do I do this? And the raw food movement has become about making money. So, you know, I hope that kind of answers your question, but this whole living foods, sun foods, as Dr. Iris Latham said, sun-fired foods, these foods are, they transform our cells and our bodies. and it removes the toxins, it removes the chemicals that our bodies are addicted to. And, of course, we, you know, there was a period of time where we didn't have to worry about such chemicals in our foods, you know. You know, our grandmothers and some of our great aunts and even some of our mothers, and they didn't have to worry, but there was a switchover in which all these chemicals were introduced. And so now people have to start to change the way that they think about food and consumption in general. And that will be the whole healing of our community, because that's just the start. That's another thing, you know. People have to remember that's just the beginning. This is just the beginning. How you change what you eat is just the beginning, because then your thoughts start to change, your love for self start to change, you start seeking different knowledge, you know, and you're going to continue to go and continue to go and continue to go, so you never arrive. But it is important for our people and Black people, African people, to start to heal themselves with living foods, and people are doing it. They're doing it because that is one of the keys to healing our community, besides the other keys such as researching and reading and exercising and, you know, getting into our tropical environments instead of being stuck in the system here. I hope that answers your question. I'm long-winded. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a little long-winded.
Well, that's great, because you're on a, you know, talk radio show, so if you weren't talking, then it wouldn't be a good show, so it's okay. But why do you feel that people are reluctant to try live food?
Well, I mean, it kind of goes back to what we were speaking about before. First of all, you know, living foods hasn't been popular. It just started to become popular because America is, and the whole world is sick. Everybody is sick. A lot of people are sick. Skinny, fat, you name it. A lot of people are sick. So people are looking for answers because they don't know when they got sick, how they got sick. A lot of people wake up and look in the mirror and go, "This is not me. This is not who I am. When did I become this person? Not just physically, but also spiritually. When did I become detached? When did I become depressed?" So people are looking for answers outside of the box. And right now we're in a period. We're in a period of just the third eye awakening for all human beings in general. So when it comes to It hasn't been popular. It's been something that's been marketed, and it's been pigeonholed as being something for people, one, who can afford it, two, for, you know, hippies, three, for vegans, three, for vegetarians. We have to take away all of those categories and just say, I want to live. I want to live.
Okay.
Do you want to live? Cool. Let's move. Let's move on a living board. We don't have to have these categories. So that's one reason. The other reason is because it has been marketed and, again, pigeonholed and classified as something that Black people are not a part of. You know, you look at even the vegan movement in L.A. and you think California, L.A. is one of the biggest, you know, markets for vegan foods, raw foods, but when you pick up a magazine with a vegan, you know, event, you don't see not one Black face. And I know that there are a lot of Black vegans that live in L.A. You know, I've met them personally. I've tasted some of their food. So, you know, it's not something that, you know, has been identified with Black people. You know, that's why it's important for people to know this is our original way of consuming. That's why when you start consuming this way, immediately your body and your cells immediately start to respond. And you're like, wow, okay, I can use the bathroom every morning, you know. I can do this every morning. So, you know, and the other thing about it is the cost. You know, because it's been marketed for a class of people who can afford it, you know, a family of five, you know, I have girlfriends who have children, they feel that they can't afford live food because the only way you can get it is from a restaurant, and then the taste, they're not accustomed to those tastes or to those textures. So it's not necessarily the raw movement is not necessarily appealing to Black people, to African people, because we are a people who like taste. you know? And that's
yes,
not to say that there aren't any raw chefs out there or living food chefs out there that are non-black that are not doing their thing and whose food tastes good. But it's from my experience, it's not very many, you know. The best living foods that I've tasted have come from people of color, and that's just a fact. You know,
we like our spices, we like our flavors, so we're gonna put that on there.
I'm open and willing to trying anybody's. You know, like I said, there are some people who are coming with it and who are not black, who are not African. You know, who are definitely coming with it. But again, it's become about making money. So nobody cares about the texture. They don't care about the taste. They don't care if there's too much salt. A lot of the restaurants, they have people who are untrained chefs in the kitchen. They're not raw foodists. They're not living foodists. They don't really care. This is just a job for them, you know. So the food is inconsistent.
Yeah.
What may be good one day is not good the next day. So this is a problem overall in general. But in specifically speaking, also when you speak about African people, they're the number one people addicted to fast food, you know. And with that, then you have to replace these foods. If you're going to come with a live burger, it has to kind of taste like the fast food that they're used to. Unfortunately, that is a fact, you know, that is a reality. So in any live food chef, anybody who's wanting to make live food and make it for African people, the important thing is to remember that a lot of these people, a lot of our brothers and sisters are coming off of diets that are full of salt, that are full of different flavors, you know what I mean? So we have to accommodate that and add those flavors into living foods, but add it into in a healthy way and make them feel good about it as well, you know. And that is something that I feel that, you know, in training and traveling with Dr. Irese Latham, that I discovered, you know, how easy it is to make these living foods, but then two, how many diverse flavors you can incorporate into all of these things. You know, I definitely had my spice cabinet stacked before I went on tour with him, but that's just to say that added to that knowledge.
Yeah.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I feel like a big part of understanding just even, you know, vegan food, period, or any type of healthy cuisine, is just understanding that spices and herbs, which give food flavor, are healthy and they are medicine. So there's no reason why healthy food shouldn't taste good, because those are the things that are good for you. So, you know, it's just about, you know, incorporating everything together and getting that knowledge. So what do you attribute the popularity of live veganism to? Like, what do you give credit for its popularity now?
Well, I just, plain and simple, people are sick and they want answers. And when they try, first when people are transitioning from a non-vegan lifestyle and they try vegan foods that taste good, they're astonished, you know. They're happy that finally they found something that, you know, people are saying this is healthy. They do feel better. They have they tend to lose weight. You know, they tend to you know, as you cleanse the body, because even if you're not a raw vegan or a live vegan or a 100% live foodist, everybody starts from somewhere. So, you know, if people are transitioning from eating a whole bunch of meat to being, you know, to only eating a little bit of fish and eating, you know, some vegetables, then they feel better. They're like, wow, I do feel better. I don't feel as sluggish. I'm using a bathroom more regular, because any change that they make is gonna show a positive reaction in their body, you know. So, you know, a lot of times right now what we're experiencing, like I said, is we're experiencing not only in the black community, but it is astonishing the numbers in the black community. And to be honest, it's everybody, but it's astonishing, you know, how many of our brothers and sisters are just dying and dropping dead at a young age and coming down with, you know, coming down with all kind of diseases that they couldn't even imagine. So it's really the diseases that are driving people into the vegan and vegetarian movement. And that's an unfortunate thing, but it's also a real thing because most people learn by experience. You know, people can read as many books as they want to read, but when it comes down to it, they need to experience it for themselves. So I kind of contribute or attribute, you know, the movement and the popularity to people wanting to heal themselves. You know, I tend to feel that we as a human race, we all want to live better. We all want to feel better. We all want to be 100%. That's across the board. You know, you can't. I can't imagine just asking somebody, "Do you want to be sick?" And they're like, "Yeah, I want to be sick." You know what I mean? Like most people want to feel better, so most people are seeking the answers to that because most people are finding out that they've been lied to their entire lives, and that goes across the board from African to Caucasian. You know, to the Asians and to also the Latinos and that it goes across the board. It's across the board.
All right, definitely. All right, we are live here on Conversations with the Queen, kicking it with India, the live food chef, and we are chopping it up pretty much about raw food, live food, and the cuisine and, you know, how it affects our bodies, our minds, our spirit. You know, we'd love for you to chime in and join in the conversation. The quote and number is 917-932-8881. Again, that's 917-932-8881. All you have to do is press 1 to raise your hand. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a commercial break, and then we'll be right back, and we'll finish up this interview and get into some questions. So definitely hang tight and sit with me.
Ladies, it's Israel the Poet. Do you love stylish jewelry but are also health and spiritually conscious? Many stylish pieces contain metals and plastics which can irritate the skin and do absolutely nothing for the spirit. So why not be in style while aiding your spirit? Gemini Creations presents Angel Wings, our newest earring line that infuses radiant feather earrings with angelic spiritual gemstones. So look great while aiding your spirit. To check them out, visit GeminiCreations.com. That's GeminiCreations.com. Like us on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/GeminiCreations. Or you can contact Tay Queen through TayQueen@Hotmail.com. That's TayQueen@Hotmail.com. Peace and blessings, always.
All right. And if you have a small business or are just looking for any way to advertise or promote yourself, definitely do hit us up here on Conversations with the Queen. You can hit me up at TayQueen, TayQueen, @Hotmail.com for more information on that. All right, we're here live. Still kicking it with my sister India, and we're going to get into a little bit more of this conversation, but definitely is about that time where you can chime in and let your voice be heard. The call number is, again, 917-932-8881. Okay, sis. So what is the hardest part of preparing live food?
And looking back, first we have to remember that anything that we begin and that we start, any habit that we start, any new, you know, hobby or, you know, profession or whatever activity that we take on is not going to be easy, you know. So as time goes on, people will learn how to, you know, prepare these things and it'll be like second nature. I think the one of the most difficult things is to just think of it just like you're going in your kitchen to make cooked food. You know, it is about once you know, once you have certain equipment, you do have to do an equipment overhaul. So this can be costly. There are different ranges of costs, but, you know, this is an investment for most people. So that's number one. That is one of the most common obstacles that people face. The other common obstacle that people face is being able to get the textures that they desire. But again, once you do it a few times and you make a few mistakes and some things come out absolutely horrible, you know, then you get a hold of it. So it's really about just learning the techniques. I think the techniques are very, 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 very key. And once you have those basic techniques down, you can make 10 different kind of cashew cheeses. You know, you can make 10 different kind of, you know, breads, you know, but it's about knowing the basic techniques. I think that is the hardest thing for people to conceptualize, which is important why people do need to support some of their local, you know, raw food chefs who are having workshops and who are teaching the community, because these, once you see it and you experience it firsthand, then it becomes just about practice. You know, the other thing is getting accustomed to. Well, I don't think that's right. I think that those are basically the basic, those are the things that are the hardest, I think, because there are different levels of being a live foodist, you know. There's the intro level where people tend to eat more dehydrated foods, you know, and then there's also the intermediate level where you tend to eat more water, fresh fruit, water foods, fresh fruits, and you tend to drink more, you know, and then you get to a point, there are people who are mostly on liquids, you know. So, and then the other challenge that I think that people have, and that this is across the board again, because like I said, I have a client in Australia, and it's very difficult for her to find some of the foods that she needs for her body. So the same thing goes for urban communities as well. You know, I know in LA alone, I have to drive about 15 to 20 miles to get the foods that I need to get, you know, certain things, not all things, but certain things. So I think the availability for different foods, and also I think people who are just beginning to transition, one thing to always remember is that you don't need a whole lot of it. You don't need a whole lot of food. You know, when you're eating live food, everything has its nutrients, and so you actually eat less. So you may look at buying, you know, those nuts may be $12 a pound, but you don't need 50 pounds. All you need is maybe 1 or 2 pounds at the most, and that will feed a whole family of people, you know. But it's the application of the techniques that applies to that as well.
Definitely. You just reminded me of something. If anybody is locally in the Boston area, I do know that you can, and you're interested in raw, live healing foods, you can visit rawhealing.com, and you'll be able to see that Dr. A does have some great classes available, very, very affordable, so you might want to check that out. Now, what are some of the easiest things about preparing live food?
One of the things that's so easy about live food is that it's live. You can pick up an apple and you're eating live food. You can have a salad and you're eating live food. You can eat a whole papaya for your breakfast and you are eating live food. So, you know, you don't necessarily have to make all of the cashew cheeses and do all of that stuff, but you can still incorporate fresh fruits and vegetables into your consumption, and you are beginning to eat more living foods. You know, it only takes 20% of living foods to digest 80% of cooked food. So, you know, these things are, it's just about, you know, incorporating more fresh fruits and vegetables, more melanated foods into your consumption and not cooking the melanation out of it. So that's one of the easiest things, is that you really can be a live foodist, but it is about the level of cleansing that your body is at. It is about how clean your temple is, because then you won't crave certain things. So, you know, sometimes if you are just transitioning, your body may have more toxins than the person who may have been a living foodist for like 5 years. And so you may not want a whole papaya for breakfast. You know what I mean? You want a bagel. Your body is like, yo, why are you eating this papaya? why are you eating these apples like this? Yo, I'm looking for that bread, man. What's going on? So, you know, these are things to take into consideration. But it is really easy to just pick up an apple, you know. So technically, anybody can call themselves a live foodist or a raw foodist, you know, just as long as they're eating a majority of fresh fruits and vegetables. That's one of the most easiest things to do.
Definitely. Okay, so what are some of the health benefits of going live?
Oh, wow. There, you know, health benefits-wise, you know, it regulates the sugar in your system. It when you're eating living foods, you're constantly detoxing, okay? Constantly detoxing. So, you know, the salad that you ate for dinner works as a scrubber in your intestines, you know. For me, what I have found, you know, since becoming a live foodist is that my energy level is, like, up there, you know, especially when I am eating a balanced. You know, it is about eating balance. You can be a live foodist and still eat imbalanced, you know. So my joints, I can, like, do things that I did when I was 19. But when I was 25, before I started eating this way, you know, I experienced, you know, knee issues. My body started to actually deteriorate. So the beautiful thing about living foods is that you actually start to age backwards in all functions of your body, all functions. So, you know, your outer appearance is just a mirror of what's going on the inside. So my flexibility has gotten much, much better. The thing that people must remember too about eating living foods is also it is a science. Eating in general is a science. So even if you eat a lot of living foods that are dehydrated, then you are losing the water content. What we have to remember is in applying nutrition to our everyday lives is that, one, we have to think about our bodies, think about the makeup of our bodies, and what our body is made up of is mostly water. So we want to go ahead and have more of a liquid intake of water foods, you know, either more liquid or you have water foods, and this will loosen the joints. This gets rid of arthritis. You know, you name it, live food gets rid of all of it. You know, it doesn't even matter because the root cause of dis-ease, you know, one thing that we have to remember, it's not singular. You know, cancer is not separate from the digestive system. You know, arthritis is not separate from the digestive system. Heart failure is not separate from the digestive system. Obesity, obviously, diabetes. Everything starts and begins with your digestive system. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of us have had compromised digestive systems from youth, from babies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, these things, living food does everything. But I think the most important key to it is it allows your body to be free of dis-ease, of feeling dis-ease. And, you know, what we remember about how Africans define dis-ease is anything that makes their system or their body or even their spiritual being out of harmony with their environment, you know, anything that creates disharmony. So, you know, in general, when you become a living foodist and you actually institute the correct way of eating, because that is the other thing that I find is that people, even though they may transition into a living food consumption, their process of eating is still incorrect and out of balance. And creates disease because even though you're eating live food, if you're combining the food wrong, you're going to get disastrous effects, and that's still going to create some of the dis-ease. So, you know, when you not just eat living foods but also apply the knowledge of nutrition, that is very, very important. A lot of people with give thanks are turning to a living foods consumption. But, you know, I feel that a lot of people still need the guidance of, you know, our teachers and our leaders and the people who actually have, you know, mastered some of the key components to nutrition, to to food combination, to, you know, times, periods of eating, to periods of fasting. So there is a whole science behind eating, but it gets rid of everything, you know. And when you are not experiencing dis-ease and you're in harmony with yourself and your environment, then you actually become at peace and you're able to feel the vibrations and the changes that are occurring on Mother Earth right now. You're able to tune in and you're able to make better decisions. You're able to, you know, if you're experiencing feelings of abandonment, you're better able, you know, because of something you may have been through. You know, me personally, you know, if I'm experiencing a moment of abandonment because I did have a lifetime of growing up without any parents, you know, these are just realities. These are realities that our community faces quite often, you know. And even when we go back to slavery, we experiencing ourselves experience these feelings. We're better able to identify them and disregard a lot of the trash that comes with it and go, oh, no, okay, and go through it and feel okay. So you're better able to manage all aspects of your life because your body is not in a disharmony with itself, and you're not experiencing dis-ease.
Definitely. So, I mean, how much raw food should the average person consume in their diet? Say somebody who's just beginning on the raw food path, how much raw food do you say in percentage that they should consume?
Well, and, you know, me personally, I don't like generalizations, you know. But, you know, to just give a number for most people to make it easy, and I'm going to add to it, you know, I feel that at least 60%, you know, at least 60%. But the key to it, the key is the process of eating itself, you know, the process of eating. So, you know, while people may say, well, I, you know, institute 60-40 or 70-30, you know, they could still be eating the wrong kind of foods and they could still be eating the wrong kind of way and they may not experience the benefits of a living food consumption. You know, I have, like I said, one of my clients in Australia, you know, she had been on an 80-20 and even a 90-10 for about a year, and she just still experienced lethargy. She experienced all of these different things, and she was beginning to feel that maybe a living food consumption was not for her, you know. So it's not just about the amount. It's also about the quality and the kinds of foods that you're eating that are living foods, and it's also about the water content of the foods that you're eating. It's also about way in which you combine those foods, and it's also about your daily process of eating. For example, you know, a lot of people will say, well, I'm going to eat raw oatmeal for breakfast. I'm going to break my fast with raw oatmeal with some oat groats that I sprouted and some nut butter and some apples and some nut milk, some almond milk. Now, this doesn't sound horrible and it's not horrible. But what happens is those grains act as blockers, and we have to remember that when we wake up, we are still detoxing. We're detoxing from our daily detox. So, you know, you're still doing your body harm, and you may not experiencing the benefits, whereas if you got up in the a.m. and you had juice or you had fruit and you, you know, experienced detoxing for half of the day, then you would start to – and then go to your oatmeal, you know what I mean? Then go to the sprouted oat groats and almond milk and stuff like that. Then you would experience a difference. So generally speaking, I would say at least 60%, and we want those foods to be high water content foods. So a lot of fruit, you know, we want to cleanse our body constantly. We have to remember we are 70% water. We are 70% water just like Earth. So we want to apply the same science, if that makes sense.
Definitely. We have 10 minutes left on the live stream, so that means for all my listeners who are listening in online, you might want to switch over to the call-in number so we can finish up the rest of this interview. That call-in number, again, is 917-932-8881. If you're already on the lines and you have a question, the time to ask that question is now. So do raise your hand by pressing 1 if you have any questions for the sister here. But continuing down the line of this interview, do you consider yourself an advocate of the live food lifestyle?
I'm just an advocate for life, to be honest with you. You know, like, I personally, like, it really, I would say, and as of lately, too, it really, I don't want to say, it does hurt to see so many of my people suffering from disease, you know. And at the same time, you know, because life is larger. Life is larger. And like I said, consumption of what you eat is just the beginning. You know, it is just the beginning. So I would like to see, you know, our brothers and sisters really be able to come together, be able to have, you know, knowledge. Not only that, be able to be free of disease, be able to be free of a diet that stems from slavery and that stems from colonialism and colonization, and see people live. You know, I would like to see life around I&I. You know, it's sometimes, you know, when you walk out and you walk and you just go into your neighborhoods and stuff like that, a lot of people are slow. They're moving slow. They're thinking slow, and that hurts. You know, because it wasn't always that way. You know what I mean? It wasn't always that way. And it's just become a death mentality. And in general, you know, and that applies to all areas. That applies to food. That's just one of the aspects, you know. This is one of the aspects that I work in. But also I acknowledge that it's a whole systematic global issue of consumption. Consumption, 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 consumption of music, consumption of what we read, consumption or don't read for that matter, consumption of what we keep around us, consumption of what we eat. Everything is about consumption. So, you know, when it comes down to it, I am an advocate for life. As far as the raw food movement and as far as the living foods movement and as far as all of these movements, you know, all of that is just, you know, for me, is about an economic factor, is about an economic machine, but really it's about life. That's why I said, you ask most people, hey, you want to live? Most people are going to say, yes, I want to live. There's not a lot of people that are going to be like, yeah, I love being diseased. Yeah, I love, you know, but it's just about being educated about what is, you know, what is and what isn't best for the body to function, you know. So I would like to see life. Just in general, I would like to experience life. You know, you go to different concerts, and people are dead as a doorknob. You know, the person on stage is hopping up, jumping all around, and people are just literally zoned out dead because of what they consumed an hour before they came to the show. You know, so these are things I would like people to have life, because we all vibrate with each other. We all vibrate from each other. We are one human race, and we are all, you know, we depend on each other, you know, with vibration. So, you know, now is the time for people to really wake up, because we are really experiencing some serious things in our environment, in Mother Earth, you know, in our communities, in the African community. We are experiencing genocide. So, you know, for me, it's not about any movement. It's about life. I'm an advocate for life.
Okay. That's a great answer. So on that subject and riding off of that vibration, please share some of your upcoming events, projects, anything you have going on, and let my listeners know how they can learn more about the movement, what you're doing, because I'm telling you, this system, now, I don't say this much about, you know, anything. I'm an honest person now. If I seen some stuff on her page and on her website that was looking whack, I wouldn't even brought on the show. Sister's stuff looks so good, makes you want to eat it. It don't matter if you a meat eater. It don't matter what you eat. Hold up. Let me try that. That looks good. So let them know about everything you have going on.
Okay, so the first thing that we have, my company is called Back to Live, B-A-C-K, the number 2, not spelled out, just the number alone, and then L-I-V-E, and then F-O-D-D-S, so it's foods plural, backtolivefoods.com. You can go on my website and you can check out the different events. You can also check out, you know, some of the programs that we have going on, some of the detox plans that we offer, and raw food plan or living food plans that we offer. But we do have a free workshop at Whole Foods on this Saturday coming up at 1. And it's an hour and a half workshop, and, you know, the food is free, and we're going to just be dishing out some really, really great stuff. And then on October 21st, we have our one-day refresh, you know, raw food urban retreat. This retreat is really for people who want, who live in urban areas. You know, they may not have $300 to go out of the city for the for that strong end, you know, but they can come to our live food urban retreat, and we're going to have Kaya Mara of Hariyatma Yoga and Herbs. She's going to be conducting a yoga workshop as well with her partner, Randy, who is going to be doing Qigong. And we also are going to have our very special living superfood chef and also author of Off the Weight. And also he is the author of the Conscious Rasta Report. And also he has a book also called Living Superfoods that everyone should check out. Chef Keaty is going to be doing a workshop with me, and we're going to be dishing out some fabulous living foods. And then after that, we're going to be presenting a feast made by me, our Back to Life, and you'll be able to get to taste all of the wonderful deliciousness on that we feature, you know. So those are some of the events that are coming up this month, and we look forward and are welcoming people to sign up. People do have to enroll in advance and get their tickets in advance for the one-day urban retreat, and that's October 21st, and it's going to be from 11 until 3. And like I said, it's going to be a fabulous check-in for someone, for people who have had a busy week and just need a time to check in. And not only that, it will show them how they can check in on their own after that, you know, how they can take all of this knowledge that is going to be there and apply it. And we're also going to be throwing in a goodie bag as well for the event that's going to feature some DVDs by myself and also by Keaty, and also some goodies from Kaya and Randy as well. So we really look forward. We're hoping for a great turnout. We do have a maximum a number of people who can come. But we're looking for about, you know, we're looking to have about 40 to 50 people at this retreat. And so it's going to be an intimate retreat, which is lovely. You know, it's lovely. That means it's going to be plenty of food, and people better come hungry because we're going to have all kind of things. We're going to have a sun food feast, you know. So we're waiting to get some feedback from some of our clients and some of our customers and some of our followers who want to see what kind of foods that they want to see. Do you want a barbecue Hawaiian walnut burger? Do you want some pancakes? Do you want some smoothies? Do you want some sausages? You know, what do you want? Do you want enchiladas? You know, these are, do you want the Back to Live nut meat burger? I mean, nut meat patty. You know, they're actually little patties, Tay. They're actually little patties that look and taste like, you know, the real thing. So, you know,
I want all of it, but, you know, I'm not in the area. So I know you asked my feedback specifically, but, you know, whenever that time comes, you know,
well,
I'll just let you know. I want all of it.
We'll try to send you something. We'll see if we can send you something in the mail. Yeah.
Sounds good. We do have 60 seconds left on the live stream, so if you are still in the chat and you're listening through on the live stream, please switch over now because you can't call in after we cut off. Again, that call-in number is 917-932-8881. If you have any questions, now is the definite time to ask them, because we're not going to have too much time after this to answer questions. So, you know, personal question, side note. When's the cook, uncook book coming out?
We're looking to have
the recipes.
We're looking to have that. We're looking to have, well, one, we do have some DVDs and we do have an ebook that's for starters. They could go on lulu.com and purchase Gourmet Life Foods. And it's by Babette Davis and India Camille. And then you could go on my website and purchase the DVD. That's our Summer Eats DVD. And the barbecue walnut burger is on there, as well as the Fiesta burrito. That really is like a burrito. It's amazing. But as far as our, we have a couple projects coming up. We are working on a memoir book because we do feel it's important for people to see the whole journey in itself, and then it will have some recipes in it. And then we have our Delicious Dehydrated coming out by, I would say, by early December. And this this will be something that people can purchase online, but it will also have some, and then we also have a holiday book coming out, how to make your favorite holiday dishes all live, you know. So those are the three. We should have the first two out by, you know, by December. The holiday one will be out before Thanksgiving, probably a week before Thanksgiving. Or, you know, I don't really like to call it Thanksgiving, but this is just so people can overstand and I don't have to, you know, for explanation's sake.
Like, what's she talking about? What does she mean by that? Like, yeah,
right,
so just, you know, make it in plain terms. Definitely.
Right.
So to wrap it all up, what tips would you give to somebody who's just starting out? Like, what words of encouragement, advice, inspiration, whatever, would you give to them?
The first thing is just remember that it's all a process. You know, you don't wake up and know everything. You're not going to. You know, don't beat yourself up. You know, just find out some things that work for you and start to implement them and know that you will continue your journey. Even when you reach a point, you know, where you're eating all vegan or all live, you're still going to be finding out knowledge. You're still going to be applying this knowledge. So it's about the journey. It's not about, you know, it's not about the final end. It's about the journey. Just take your time, you know, do your research. Definitely consult with, you know, people like myself and helping you to get to that. And then also have fun. Have fun with it. You know, have fun with it. If you want chocolate, make chocolate. If you want peanut butter and jelly, make peanut butter and jelly. But try to do it, you know, live. Just try to do it live and incorporate small things, step by step by step, create a whole book. You know, chapters create the book. You know, the book is just doesn't just show up without chapters. You know, so we have to, you know, we have to give ourselves time and give ourselves space to reprogram all of ourselves, and we have to be gentle, and we have to be gentle with ourselves. We have to be gentle. So my thing is just take your time. Take your time. Don't rush into anything. Don't think you have to be one way or no way, or I could never be vegan, I could never be life foodist, I could never be vegetarian, or I'm never going to eat meat. Just take it one day at a time and just apply small changes. Apply small changes that you can make in your life, and you'll start to see those differences, and you'll continue to grow. So that's pretty much, you know, my words of encouragement for anybody who's just starting on this, you know, on this journey.
All right, so any last shout-outs you want to make, any just last words you want to say?
Yeah, I got a shout-out. No, it's
all
just,
right.
You know, such a blessing. I thank everyone for joining in and listening, everyone who's listening, everyone who's online. I thank you, Tay, for reaching out to me, you know, and giving this opportunity. I give thanks for life, you know, and I just look forward to another day of life, you know, with God's blessing. I will continue, you know, living and be able to, you know, assist others on the journey and share what I know and continue to learn from other people as well.
Well, we want to thank you specifically here at Conversations with the Queen for being who you are and living your life purpose, because I can tell that you're passionate. I can see the love in your food. So, oh, God only knows, everybody can taste it. So we can see the passion. We can see the vibrance. You're definitely, definitely a lovely spirit, and you're living your life path and your life passion. So that's everything that, you know, we want here on Conversation. So we, you know, just continue to give you thanks and, you know, blessings upon your journey in life. All right, sis. Okay, so we're going to wrap everything up here. And thank you for listening into Conversations with the Queen every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, you know, we will always be here. Tune in next week. We'll be having a great, great guest, Louise Powell of Dolls, Inc. But that show will be starting a little bit early, so make sure you pay attention. It's going to be at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time instead of our scheduled 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure you make that adjustment on your calendar. That will be very, very clear in advertising that. All right, so just thank you for listening in, and don't forget to visit conversationswiththequeens.blogspot.com as well as GeminiCreations.com. So thank you all, and peace and blessings and so much love.
So ask yourself this question. Is this how love is supposed to be? Then how is it you keep finding your way back in my life?
Said I'm leaving. Have I made myself clear? Every time I find someone, I find myself here. No more screaming, there'll be no more lies. Packed up all my things to go, even made my flight. So how did you find your way back in my life? How did you find your way back in my life? How did you find I can't tell.
Blog Talk Radio.
Lori Coburn with Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn on the Poetic Energy Network of Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we're taking your questions on psychology and A Course in Miracles, forgiveness, or any other topics related to that that you would like to call in with. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. And you can also type your questions in the chat room if you would prefer to stay off the air. Tonight, I'll be talking from my book, Breaking Free, How Forgiveness and A Course in Miracles Can Set You Free, going over different aspects of what I write about forgiveness in the book and how it relates to A Course in Miracles psychotherapy in general. I was a psychotherapist for 25 years and now do spiritual coaching for people who are really, truly ready to let go of the ego and wake up. Wake up. What does that mean? Wake up. We're dreaming. We're dreaming this life. And to wake up from the dream means to break free, to be set